Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I hope you're alive after enjoying turkey and all the fixings yesterday. I hope you had the opportunity to spend the day with family and friends and to enjoy and not only everybody's company, but also spend some time just giving thanks for what God has blessed us with. And, you know, we look at the news, we see the things that are happening in the world around us. It's easy to become overwhelmed, and it's easy to almost give up and think, what does it matter anymore? Things are just getting worse and worse. But then when we stop and think, we can identify the blessings that God has given to us. And so I hope you take the time to do that. And also, not just to Thanksgiving should we be thankful, but as we cross from Thanksgiving and December's quickly approaching us and we see Christmas coming up, and another reminder of the blessings that we have through Christ, the blessings that God has given to us. And I think sometimes, what would it have been like if I had been born in another country? What would it have been like if I had been born in another time? And oftentimes I come back to the fact that I'm just thankful that I was born in the United States of America at this time. And, you know, God had a place for me to be born and a time for me to be born, and I'm in that place and time. And He has a purpose for you as well. He had a place and a time for you to be born, and where we're at is where God wants us. And so we should be thankful that God has a plan. We don't always understand what His plan is. We don't always see it. But we are confident that He has a plan, and these things will work out according to His plan if we'll be willing to allow Him to lead and guide and direct us. Of course, that first comes with knowing Christ as your Savior. There's certainly something to be thankful for. If you know Christ as your Savior, there's no excuse not to be thankful when you think of what God has done for us, forgiving us of our sin. And then, of course, when we think about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we were talking about last week and going to pick up again this week, and there's much to be thankful there. When the world seems to be falling apart, knowing that God has a plan, and many things in that plan have been revealed to us in advance. And so I'm very thankful for that. So I hope that you're having a good day today, recuperating from celebration yesterday. But you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Let me encourage you to check us out there. And while you're there, you can certainly find out more about me, more about the radio program, more about our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, which is the sponsor of the program. It might be the day after Thanksgiving, but we will be there tonight for our Friday night Bible study at 7 o'clock. We have a Bible study every Friday night from 7 to 9. It's an informal Bible study. You bring the questions, and you can bring leftover pumpkin pie if you got that too. But you bring your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, and we just spend some time fellowshipping around the Word of God, and we'll have some refreshments and things. It's informal, so everybody can chime in, and we've got makes a nice relaxing evening, better than going out to the bars and the clubs and things like that. You can join together with others and talk about the Word of God. If you've got questions and you're looking for answers, why don't you come out to our Friday night Bible study, 7 o'clock till 9 o'clock. We'll be there this evening, every Friday night. And then, of course, we have our regular services on Sunday. Sunday morning at 11 o'clock is our morning worship service. And I am currently preaching through the Gospel of John. And then Sunday nights at 6 o'clock, our evening worship service, I'm currently preaching through the book of Proverbs on Sunday nights. Yes, we have two services on Sunday, and no, they're not the same. We still have a morning service and an evening service. And so we'd love to have you visit us sometime. And of course, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor, meets at 4174 Wheatley Road. That's 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, Ohio. We're in a little commercial strip at the corner of Wheatley Road and Brecksville Road, and that is near where Interstate 271 and 77 cross, northern Summit County, midway between Akron and Cleveland. Love to have you come out and visit us. Well, we're going to have a word of prayer, and we're going to get into the Bible here, and I'm going to continue on with what we were looking at last week, looking at the Antichrist and what's going to happen at the end of the tribulation. And so we're going to pick up there, and we'll go from there. We've been working towards the millennial kingdom and working towards what is going to happen on this earth during that time, and what will be the final end of things before we get into eternity in the future. So we left off last week looking at the Antichrist and looking at the time that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth at the end of the tribulation period. So we'll be in Revelation 19 to start. We're also going to be going over to Zechariah chapters 13, 14, 12, 13, 14, I guess. So if you got your Bible handy and you want to turn to Revelation 19 and Zechariah chapter 12, probably be a good thing to get ready. But we're going to have a word of prayer, and we'll jump into this here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we want to thank you for the many blessings that we've had. And it's just right and fitting that we have a day set aside, a day of thanksgiving. And I just trust that our listeners today had the opportunity yesterday to spend some time in thanks, to spend some time with family and friends, and just remembering and being thankful, grateful for the blessings that you bestowed upon us, Lord. And then that we would look forward to the opportunities that we have to continue to serve you and to be a witness for you in the world around us, Lord. And as we see the world and the chaos in the world around us, Lord, Father, help us not to take our eyes off from Jesus. I think of Peter when he was walked out of the boat on the water. And as he looked at Jesus, he stayed on the water. But when he took his eyes off Jesus and he fixated on the storm, the wind, and the waves around him is when he began to sink. So, Lord, help us keep our eyes upon you in all the storms of life around us and the things happening in the world around us. Help us keep our eyes fixed upon Christ. And we just pray for those that haven't trusted Christ as their Savior yet, that you would encourage them to look into the claims of the gospel message, that you would touch their heart, bring them under conviction, help them to realize that they need Christ as their Savior, that they could put their faith in Christ before it's everlastingly too late. Father, bless the program today, we pray, and we thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, last week we were looking at the Antichrist, and we saw that he is raised up. It looks like he comes out of the Gentile background, a non-Jewish background. And then we had the false prophet that we also saw in Revelation chapter 19. Both the Antichrist and the false prophet are spoken of there. And the false prophet appears to come from a Jewish background. We talked about that. And he will lead the people of the world into a worship of the Antichrist, who will present himself as God. You can see that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And this is all in fulfillment of what Daniel prophesied in Daniel chapter 9 in his vision of the 70 weeks of years, when the prince of the people that come, meaning those that destroy the temple and the city of Jerusalem, which happened in the year 70 AD, that he confirms a covenant for 7 years with the Jewish people, and that's the 7 years of the tribulation period, the last 7 years of Daniel's weeks of years, 70 weeks of years. We had 69 take place so far. We're in the midst of a parenthesis, which is the dispensation of grace, or we call it sometimes the church age, and that will end when the believers, the church, the born-again Christians are caught up out of the world, and then the Antichrist will be revealed. He'll come to power, establish a world government, and we saw there last week in Revelation 13, the false prophet will lead the world in worshiping him as after he shows himself to be God, and they'll institute the mark of the beast, the 666, which will be a key not only to be able to access the digital economy that the world will be dependent on, which we see the stage being set with the rise of the central bank digital currencies. And then, of course, not only will it be the key to buying and selling, because the Bible says no man will buy or sell except they have the mark, but it'll also be a representation of the fact that you worship the Antichrist as God. And in Revelation chapter 14, as we saw last week, those that worship the Antichrist as God and have received his mark are going to be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. So we see the second half of the tribulation, and we moved from there to Revelation 19. And in Revelation 19, I read this last week, and let me just read through it again so that we can see what is going on here. In Revelation 19, starting in verse number 11 here, Paul writes this. He says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." That's the Lord Jesus Christ as he returns at the end of the tribulation period. The world is about to tear itself apart with the battle of Armageddon, which is beginning, and the Antichrist is attempting to destroy completely the Jewish people at this time and all of those that have opposed him and the Gentile believers. He wants to destroy them all. And Jesus had said that this time of the tribulation, the second half, it would get so bad that except those days would be shortened, there would be no life left, which he meant by that if it went on much longer than the 3.5 years that the second half of the tribulation will cover, there wouldn't be anybody that would survive it. The world would just destroy itself. And so we see Jesus returning. He continues in verse 12, "His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." And we see that in the Gospel of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, with a capital W, and the Word was God. And that's with a capital G. And you know, there's the people who attack the deity of Christ, and they try to claim that he's not God. There's a whole group. Their initials are the Jehovah's Witnesses, and they claim that Jesus is actually Michael the Archangel. But when it says in John chapter 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," it means that the Word, Jesus Christ, is God. He's the second person of the Godhead. Verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Only begotten of the Father, because the Son of God, it refers to Jesus, God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, the Godhead. And he is the one that was begotten into the world. And of course, we'll be celebrating the birth of Christ, the incarnation of Christ, as we come up at Christmas here. It just seems getting closer and closer. You know, Thanksgiving's over. Christmas is on the horizon. And we'll be celebrating the birth of Christ. The only begotten is Jesus. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so we go back here in Revelation 19, and it says in verse 14, "The armies which were in heaven followed him followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." These armies, that's the believers, and the angels that accompany Christ when he returns in glory at the end of the tribulation. You know, in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus has been asked by the disciples about the end times and what would be the things that would happen. And as he's talking about the end times, in Matthew 24, verse 27, he says, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Now, that is not a reference to the rapture, the catching away of believers. Some people try to make that the end of that, but it's not, because when Jesus comes for us, for the believers, before the tribulation, he comes as a thief in the night. He comes secretly, and not everybody is going to see it. It's just like when we think about the birth of Christ, when he came, not everybody saw it. Some were looking and some saw, and all, but it wasn't until he entered into his earthly ministry that the whole world saw him. And so when Jesus takes away the believers out of the world prior to the tribulation, he comes stealthily, secretly. He doesn't come as lightning shining out of the from one side of the sky to the other. Look in Luke chapter 17, verse 24 again. He says, "For the lightning that lighteth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day." And so in his day, we're talking about the day of Christ. They were talking about when he returns to the earth. And in this time, when this takes place, people are going to see this, and it's going to be a worldwide event. And the believers, along with the angels in heaven, are going to accompany Christ. And we're going to return to this earth. You know, some people think that the rapture takes place when Jesus returns to the earth, and that would not make sense, because we are caught up to be with the Lord, and there's the Bema judgment seat of Christ, the awards where rewards are delivered or given to the believers in heaven, while the other things are taking place on earth during the tribulation. And then there's the marriage supper of the Lamb that's earlier here in Revelation chapter 19. And then after all of these things, we return with Christ to the earth. And so that would mean that we, if the rapture took place then, we'd be caught up and then come right back just almost immediately. So I guess God would have to squeeze everything into that brief instant from the earth's perspective. But it makes more sense. We're already there. We're ready. And we return with him. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And we return with Christ. And as we watch, the Bible continues in Revelation 19, verse 15, "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." And this is the Lord Jesus Christ coming back in power and glory. And he continues in verse 17, "I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army." And so when the Lord returns, the armies of the Antichrist that are gathered together to destroy the Jewish people, destroy the Gentile believers, they're going to see Christ coming in power and glory. They're going to see us returning with him as the armies of heaven. And they're going to turn against God, against Jesus Christ, in an attempt to war against him. You think, how foolish, how could they even think that they would do this? We have to remember, by this time, the Antichrist is literally indwelt by Satan. And the people that are under his satanic influence are not thinking. They're all under this satanic influence, and they turn against God here. And it says in verse 20, "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles with before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake burning, a fire burning with brimstone." In other words, the false prophet and the Antichrist are cast directly into the lake of fire. Now, think about this for a moment. The people who die right now go into hell. Later on, they're brought up from hell at the judgment seat of Christ, and then they're cast into the lake of fire, and finally death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. And yet, the Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophet, they are cast directly into the lake of fire. There must be some special judgment that they go through, but they're cast directly into the lake of fire because the implication in the scripture is once in the lake of fire, no one comes out of the lake of fire. No angel, no human cast into the lake of fire will ever come out of the lake of fire. It is eternal. And that's what Revelation chapter 14, where it said that the smoke of their torment would ascend up forever and ever. And then it says this about the rest that are left. It says, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and the fowls were filled with their flesh. Let me go over to Zechariah. As Zechariah gives us more information, and I see we're quickly running out of time, and as we can, there's just so much here. In Zechariah chapter 12, we begin seeing some of these things that are taking place, and we've talked about this in the past, how that the Jewish people who are here at this time will suddenly realize that Jesus is their Messiah, and they will embrace him as their Messiah, and as the forces of the Antichrist come against them, we see in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 9, it says, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And they're going to realize that Jesus is the Messiah. God pours his spirit out on them. In fact, chapter 13, verse 1 says, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and the inhabitants of sin, inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And so God pours his spirit out on them. They realize that Jesus is the Messiah. I believe they mourn because they realize that their forefathers had rejected Christ. And they mourn because they know they themselves rejected Christ. And right now, the Jewish people, of course, do not believe that Jesus is the true Messiah. Otherwise, they would be born-again believers, just like the Apostle Paul, when he fought against what he thought was heresy. And he thought he was defending the faith. And he was persecuting the believers. And then when he realized and surrendered himself to the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted Jesus as his Messiah, as his Savior, he became the Apostle Paul and a very strong proponent of that which he fought against. Well, these people here will embrace Christ, and they're going to realize that he is the Messiah, and God will begin working on their side, and we're empowering them in the fight, in the battle of Armageddon. And let me come back here to chapter 14, and I know we're going to run out of time before I can get through all of this. He says in chapter 14 of Zechariah, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoils shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. This is when the Lord's going to return at the end of the tribulation period. When the Jewish people begin to think that all is lost, the Lord's going to come, the sky is going to, as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, as Jesus said. And so also shall be the coming of the Son of Man. The Jewish people are going to realize who Jesus is. Those that haven't yet embraced Christ as their Messiah will. And they'll be filled supernaturally with strength and power to fight back against their enemies. And then the Lord Jesus Christ will set foot on this earth in Zechariah 13 or 14, verse 4. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley. And what happens is there's a fault line running through the Mount of Olives that if it was triggered, it would split, just as the prophet Zechariah said. And that's when the Lord is going to return and take the false prophet, take the Antichrist, and throw them into the lake of fire. Well, I don't have time to get into the rest, but let me encourage you to read Zechariah chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14. It's like an extended commentary on Revelation 19. But keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Thanks for listening. Join us next time. God bless.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night
from 10 to midnight.
And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.